So this morning we're talking about fruits of rejection. Okay. No problem. He was under massive pressure. Okay. Fruits of rejection, which includes reflection. It's actually, rejection needs a lot of reflection. So how crazy is that statement? Fruits of rejection. How can there be fruits? Rejection is just painful. It's destructive. Would you agree with me? How can there be fruits of rejection? Is that possible? And a while ago, about 2 weeks ago, I just felt the Lord drop this in my heart and say to me, "My son, rejection is good for you." Who loses their breath with that? God? How can you say rejection is good for me? How's that possible, Daddy? You know? You must, and then he goes on and he says to me, you must embrace it. You must welcome it. And there's tons of scriptural evidence. You'll see it now. It's phenomenal. So, wow, God, what are you up to? I mustn't go over my time. My son keeps telling me, don't worry about the time, Dad. I said, no. We were told by our leaders, stick to the time. So you just need to give me a little heads up 5 minutes before. So, because I have the gift of the gab. You see, now I'm starting already. Zip it. Okay. There's somebody I know, a friend of mine. Most of her life, her mother rejected her. Most of her life, her mom would criticize her. She would never be good enough for her mom. She's very close to me. I love her dearly. And why am I crying now? It was such a presence of God this morning. And she went through anger and hatred towards her mom. And she had to work through a process in her life of choosing to forgive her mom and seeking the Lord in that pain. Going to the Lord and saying, Lord, give me answers. How do I deal with this? How do I handle this, Lord? What do I do with this? And then God would minister to her, and he'd build her, and he'd give her answers. And before her mom's death, the mom asked her to please come look after her. And she went, and in that time, and even before that, a few years, her husband and she had spoken a lot about it. In that time, they had decided as a couple to love the mom unconditionally and expect nothing in return, despite years of rejection. Who you, if your mom's here, don't raise your hand, but who you have gone through rejection from a parent? There should be many more hands. But it's fine, you don't have to be honest. God still loves you. And so, I've gone through rejection from a parent, one of my parents. And so she went and looked after her mom for a few months. She would go drive in and out, and she'd care and tend for her mom. And there was such a beautiful reconciliation between her and her mom. And God restored a thing. So what do we learn from this? We learn that there are significant benefits of rejection. There's a myriad of benefits from rejection. There's one important condition in getting the fruit of rejection, and that is don't go to the bottle with your rejection. Don't go to any addiction. You go to Jesus with that rejection, and then you'll pick fruit from that rejection. You go to the Lord, and you say, Lord, you know what? I'm sitting with lots of pain. My husband, my brother, my uncle, my colleague at work, my friend from school, my whatever. And this is what I'm going through. So you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I desperately need you to help me here. We need to pursue God's acceptance instead of other people's rejection. Because rejection means I've been pushed out, I've been pushed aside. In their eyes and minds, actually rejection says, I am not good enough. And then how do I get healed from not being good enough? I go to the person that says, you are so good enough for me, my child, that I regard your reconciliation with me, your relationship with me, as more important than my own life. Did he not do that by the cross? He said, ants, your reconciliation, your relationship with me is more important than my own life. Can anyone else give you more significance than that? Come on, guys. I love doing this. And I really, if you need a wake up in realizing how much God loves you, slap yourself now and say, wake up. Who here is the most reserved person? You know your people in the church. Daniel, who's the most reserved? He says, exclude me. Who's the most reserved? Are you reserved? Okay. I challenge you. She's not. I can call them out, but I'm not going to embarrass them. I want to challenge the most reserved. At the count of three, slap yourself and say, wake up to the love of God for you. One, two, three. Wake up. Ach, nee, what's going on? These guys won't give me their cooperation. And nee, what? Okay, never mind. We love you. Yeah, no, it's fine. Rejection leads to a closer relationship with Christ. Rejection lets us turn towards Jesus and even helps us to come to a place where we welcome the rejection and even embrace it because of the fruits that come out of rejection. It's crazy to say that, actually. You think, how can you be saying that? It's so painful. It cuts so deep into my heart. It hurts me so much. To a place where we find understanding from the Lord. And we find understanding regarding the person or the people, the situation that's rejecting us. We find comfort. We find hope. And we find that the fruit of the Spirit grows through that rejection. And we'll discuss that a bit more in detail as we continue. Through rejection, we learn to fix our minds on the things above. Through rejection, we learn to fix our minds on that which is true, which is honorable, which is right, which is just, which is lovely, which is admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. That's what rejection, it drives us to God's lap and to say, Lord, this rejection, if you leave rejection unhindered or uncontrolled, what comes up in your mind? Shout out in the crowd, quickly, anybody. Be honest. Speak up loud. Bitterness. What are the fruits of rejection unless you go to God? Anger. Unforgiveness. Resentment. Self-pity. So without you going to the Lord and saying, Lord, but now the opposite is of that is fix your minds on that which is true, honorable, right. So you won't fix your mind on that which is true, honorable, and right in a solid way if you don't have opposition of rejection. If everything's going well with you, don't ever get rejected. How hard is it to set your mind on those things? Is it hard? No, it's easy. If I don't go through rejection, it's easy for me to think of truthful things, honorable things, things worthy of praise. Huh? Is it easy then? If everything is hunky-dory in your life, how solid is your thoughts fixed on these things? But something that is solid, fixed on these things, has to be tested and challenged for it to stand the storms of life. So guys, we must embrace it and take it to the lap of Jesus. So Philippians 4 verses 8 says that. I don't know, Kevin, if you have that. Oh, look at that. Give me a hand clap, please. Fix your mind on that. So we grow in character in times of rejection by embracing and receiving rejection. What would you say is the biggest example of embracing rejection in Scripture? The biggest. Yes. Was it you that said it? Yes. The cross. Has anyone ever gone through a greater rejection than Jesus? Think of it. How long has he been waiting for the church to be birthed, the New Testament church? How many thousands of years has he mollycoddling the Israelites. Holding them. I mean, since Abraham, he's been dreaming of this nation that would love him and serve him. And out of them would come the Savior. And out of the Savior would come us. And what do they do? He's been looking after them for thousands of years. And he comes to the earth. And there's no actually logical doubt to think he's not who he is. And what do they do to him? They spit in his face. They spit. They reject him. What did he do with that rejection? Did he have trouble with that rejection? You better believe it. He suffered. He sweated blood. On the cross, he shouted, my God, why have you forsaken me? But yet, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, because he saw us. He knew we were going to come out of the, that would be the fruit of him enduring and receiving the rejection, absorbing and saying, God, and he wrestled. I mean, Elijah and Moses appeared to him. And there's a scripture. I'm jumping now right ahead. There's verses for all of this. But I'd rather speak freely than follow these notes to a T. But there are verses where Elijah and Moses are meeting the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Father's voice comes out. And there's a verse that says they were talking to him about his return to heaven, about the end. That's so they were talking to him. They were saying to him, and it happened very close to the Mount of Olives where he was sweating blood. They were saying to him, you need to push through with this. You can't give up on this. The whole world's salvation is because he knew what would happen on the cross. He knew the price he's going to pay. And he had lots of, and I mean, he came and he said to the Israelites, he said, how many times have I longed to gather you like a chicken gathers her chicks under my wings? I've longed for that. I've desired that for you. So he had massive rejection and they kept pushing him out. They kept, and he even told his disciples, I'm going to be handed over. And I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. And then the third day, I'm going to resurrect. They didn't really understand him, but he said to them. So it wasn't a surprise to him. It wasn't new to him that what happened to him would happen. So he embraced it. He received it. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Matthew 23:37. Kevin, you might have to jump to that. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. I think one of the greatest expressions of embracing rejection and actually welcoming it is said to us and taught to us by the very words of Christ. This is a shocker when you see it from this angle. Brace yourself. Hold the person next to you. This is a rough scripture, guys. This is not an easy do. This is an impossible do that I'm going to read you now. All right. It is. Da-da-da-da. Luke 6:29-35. If you love only those who love you. Wie ein dan amen. Is this more English or Afrikaans folk here? You all speak Afrikaans. Okay, you're welcome to say Einan, amen. Einan, amen. If someone slaps you on the one cheek, offer the other cheek also. So when somebody slaps you on the one cheek, are they kind of rejecting you, Daniel? I mean, that would probably be the highest form of rejection. So God says, how do you handle that rejection? Are we going to do it for them, Dan? I may slap, you may not slap me. He'll let me. No, he's got a baby on his lap. May I do it to your wife? No. Okay, she must do it to me. Okay. He's such an amazing husband. So now, there's massive rejection when somebody slaps you on the cheek. Now, how does God say, how do we handle that? And he did it on the cross. He turned the other cheek. He would not even defend himself before Pontius Pilate. Scripture says it. He did not defend himself. So now the Lord says, I'm telling you, as I do and who I am, I'm going to, if somebody slaps you on the face, turn the other. So when you turn the other cheek, what are you doing with that rejection? Are you kind of inviting more rejection? You may say, amen, amen. So when I turn the other cheek, I'm inviting. Come on, speak up.
More rejection.
Am I welcoming it?
Yes.
Why?
Because we need the rejection. So we can be purified. Restored.
Yeah. So that we can grow in every area God wants us to grow. So we can learn to become ambassadors of Jesus Christ. So it says, if someone slaps you on one cheek, oh, thank you, Kevin, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? It's easy to love my son. He loves me back. But some people that I love don't love me. They actually despise me. Should I stop loving them and thinking, who do you think you are, man? Be gone. No. I need to represent my Jesus. But it's very painful if somebody hates me for my love. It's rejection at the highest rank. But if I allow that and I go to God with that pain, we had father, mother, brother, da, 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 whoever, what is going to grow in me? Who am I going to start representing properly? Am I walking the road of the cross in that? Or am I walking the road of Mac? Whose kingdom am I building? So when I don't respond as God wants me to respond with rejection, whose kingdom am I building? If I'm not responding, it's fine. I know you're thinking of a whole lot of things. If I'm not responding towards God as He wants me to respond towards rejection and pain, and I'm responding in flesh, whose kingdom am I building? Mine and the enemy. But if I respond with the fruit of the Spirit and fixing my mind on the things that are honorable, that are good, whose kingdom am I building then? You know how often I've been guilty of building my own kingdom in this area and many other areas? Who's guilty with me? Now you must all raise your hands, because you all are guilty. I can tell you that. Who is guilty with me? I'm watching every hand here. Own it. You're not going to get healing. This is not going to sink in the place that it needs to sink in your heart unless you own it, guys. You need to own your sin. You need to own your weakness. You need to own your brokenness. And through that comes the power and the glory of the Lord. Love your enemies. Verse 38. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward, now it speaks of the reward, the fruit of rejection. Then your reward from heaven will be, what's it say there? It's verse 38. Sorry, man, have we got it? Shame. Kevin, I'm so grateful. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. So right there are two rewards. It says a big reward, okay, we'll have to unpack that in another message. Maybe Ants can do that in another message, I don't know. I haven't got time this morning to unpack what it means, that reward that God gives us. But I think a lot of it will be quite logical out of Scripture. And then it says, and you will truly be acting as a child. So another reward is you will represent God. Who here wants to represent God truthfully? If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you full measure, pressed down, shaken together. It's Luke 6, 29 to 35. Yeah, not 38. My apologies. 35. Okay. So then your reward, yeah. And we'll represent God, we'll have massive reward, and we'll represent Jesus well. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Unthankful and wicked will grow. These are the rewards that God gives us. Christ even challenged the Pharisees knowing that they would reject him. He knew he didn't even challenge them lightly. So part of rejection is actually setting yourself up for rejection. Who here hates to confront somebody about a blind spot in their lives? Follow the example of Christ. Sometimes you have to, in love, challenge. He challenged these religious leaders and he said, and he knew full well, this challenge is going to cause him to get the whole nation to rise up against him and kill him. He knew it. He's God. And he did it, nevertheless. He set himself up for rejection. Yeah, that's a tough one, eh? Knowing full well, it's not going to work. I'm not going to get out of this one. I'm actually signing my own death certificate. I'm going to, by doing this, by telling them, you are a brood of vipers. You're whitewashed tombstones. Imagine me say that to you. Immediately, I mean, you can see he's going backwards. Don't. But you know what? There is a bit of whitewashed tombstone in me. Have you ever been acted a bit like a viper towards someone? Now, who's really going to be honest this morning? Raise your hand. Who's been a bit of a viper? So the words that God gives the Pharisees, we can actually say, whoa, I fit in that category. Not always, but sometimes. I need you, Holy Spirit. I don't think there was a greater humiliation, embarrassment, shame than the cross where he hung with no clothes, bleeding, broken. And he endured all of that. He welcomed it. He said, come. Of course, for the joy set before me, I'm going to embrace it. Let's go look at 3 points and then we're done. It's good not to look at your notes. You get stuck. 3 points, the fruits of rejection. The first very powerful, important point is you find value. Ah, wonderful, Kevin. Finding our value in what? In Jesus. One of the fruit of rejection is I do not let the rejection define me. I don't let the rejection define me. I go to God and I say, God, explain this to me. Help me to figure this out. Help me to make sense. Help me to see the person that's rejecting me. Let me see their hearts. Look, hurting people hurt others. You've hurt others because you're hurting. And I've hurt others because I hurt. So you go to the Lord and you find your significance, your value, your importance, your acceptance, and a big word, validation. From who? From Jesus. And not from the people that reject you or the circumstance that's come against you. You say, yes. And some of the stuff they're rejecting you for is true. It's not always a lie. But the way they deal with it is not godly. Bible says, discipline each other in love. Do admonish each other in love. Don't break each other down. Don't try to destroy someone because they've hurt you and now you reject them. Some of it is true. And even though it's true, you're under construction. No one here is not under construction. And a construction site is clean and not messy. Hey, talk to me. It's messy. And things fall over on a construction site. And there's cement lying down. And you trip and you hurt. Who here is in the construction industry? Is your construction sites neat? He's like, no. You try your level best, but it's messy. And who here is not under the construction of God right now? So the grace that God affords me while I'm messily being built by Him, and I'm a messy person in my heart, my character, while He's giving me grace to deal with it, should I now do this to the person next to me? Look how big a mess you are. Huh? Does that make sense? Seeing the little speck in Lee's eye, but I'm missing the plank in mine. Oh, I've messed up in that in my marriage big time. Hey, Dan, you haven't done it with Janelle. You've never pointed at her speck missing your plank, eh? Well, I have with my wife. I know Ants will agree with me.
Absolutely.
Yes. He's looked at the speck in his wife's eye and missed the plank in his. Find our value, our significance, our validation. That's a beautiful fruit of rejection when we go to God. James 1, verses 2 to 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for, does it say there, great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. When trials and tribulations, rejection is thoroughly an ingredient of troubles and tribulations. It's such a good ingredient. It's actually the main ingredient that hurts you the most. You go, if you ever have a lot of guts, go read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Who's read it here? I could only go through half of it. It's the first 1,000 years of Christianity. What the Romans did to Christians and what the so-called other Christians did to Christians. Let me not label a church. Christians doing to Christians and then what the Romans, the pagans, did to Christians. And they had to find it pure joy. Scripture says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. So if troubles and rejection come my way, if I find it as an opportunity of great joy, am I embracing it? If something's joyous to me that's painful, am I embracing it? Am I actually welcoming it? Yes, I am. Because I know there's going to be a massive change of identity in my life. I'm going to find identity in God and no longer in the words and opinion of people that are acting in the flesh. I'll be solidly seated on the lap of Christ through every storm. Second point, a deepening of our relationship. Rejection, the fruit of rejection is that my relationship with Christ gets deepened, and that's quite logical. Am I right? That comes out of all. You go to God and you go wrestle with Him. Jacob did it with God himself. He wrestled because his brother hated him because he stole his inheritance. He lied and cheated because his mom encouraged him. He cheated on his dad, and then his uncle cheated him, Laban, with wives and the animals and the goats that he gave him for his work, his payment. See, he just went through. He was dishonest, and a lot of people were hunting his life, and he was being rejected himself. So it deepens. And what did he do? He wrestled the whole night with God. What kind of intimacy did he develop with God when wrestling with Him a whole night? You better believe he got to know Jesus and God. Who of you have, and this is not a works thing, this is a challenge to go pray about it. Who of you have prayed through the night for the thing that really bothers you the most? And even invited someone and say, would you pray with me? I'm struggling for the salvation of my brother or my sister. And I'm struggling with this disease. And I'm so worried about this person that's sick. I'm going to pray through the night and just see what God does. I want to challenge you. Go think about it. Go do it. There's a little warning about embracing rejection. The warning is, do not embrace rejection because you want to achieve self-righteousness and self-justification and actually pay for your own sin. Don't do it out of the thing is, I'm going to get a reward because I'm doing a good religious Christian thing now. There's an old movie, I don't know, maybe you can remember it. Was it called The Mission? Old like me. Mission. Who knows that where these two monks were beating themselves? Did you watch it? Ah, he's my age. You didn't see it. Okay, you're still young. Am I right? They like carried rocks. Hey, am I right? The movie, and it's a true story. They climbed up this mountain with these rocks, and they would beat themselves, and so they can somehow pay for their sins. What a futile exercise. Don't embrace rejection because you think it's going to make you look better. That's false. Embrace it because you need God in this. You need Jesus. Jesus, help me. Last point. The fruit of rejection is character growth. Massive, massive character growth. Especially when it comes to growing in the fruit of the Spirit and in godly love. When I'm being rejected, and I quote the 9 words of the fruit of the Spirit to me, I'm busy renewing my mind with the meaning of those words. So somebody rejects me, mistreats me, and I'm broken, I'm shattered, I'm hurting, I'm bleeding. And I say, and I'm rising up in my heart, I want to actually go and take a knife and slash their tires. These are the thoughts that are coming up. Who's ever thought that with me? Okay, my son is my bloodline. We're same vindictive Lebanese side of us. Who else? Okay, yeah, okay. Who's thought of taking a key and scratching the whole side of that person's car? Ah, Ants owns it. Ants owns it. All right. Bunch of sinners. And now, when these things well up in your heart, you say, my heart, my thoughts, my emotions, are they being kind and loving right now? These are the fruit of the Spirit. Am I being gentle and good? Ooh, niak asni. Am I being faithful? No, I'm not. And do I have peace in the situation? No. I have no peace. Do I have self-control? No, I don't. Do I have joy? No, I don't. And you realize I'm not matching God's measure. My rejection is causing me to become dismeasured, unmeasured to God's standard, not matching His standard. I need to. And then as you say these words, memorize the 9 of the fruit. Memorize the fruit of the Spirit. Memorize them. Whenever you're in a painful, say those words back to yourself. Do self-talk. Say, Lord, am I being patient right now? Am I being gentle and good? Am I being kind and loving with these things in my heart? And by the time you get to the 9th word, that feeling's very much destroyed. Feelings of revenge. And then I go and I say, okay, if that doesn't work, then I say, okay, let me just read 1 Corinthians 13. Am I having love right now that is patient and kind? No, I'm not. Am I having love that's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude? Am I not demanding my own way? Am I being irritable now? No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Am I keeping a record of wrongs? So all of this, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, that's there. When you go and apply this truth by wrestling with God, what grows in your character? The character of God. First point is, what's the first point? Let me see if you guys listen properly. Your value. What defines you? Second point, relationship. Third point, character. What defines you? That's the fruit of rejection. You find your identity not in the pain, but you discover it in Christ. And then you have a deepening relationship with Christ because you take your rejection to God. And the third thing is, while all of that's happening, your character is growing to become more Christ-like.